for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, July the 4th, 2007. Clement Humbart is the speaker of this service, teaching on God's Glory or Your Glory. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
If the thing of Pentecost is going to do it, it's been around 100 years and it hadn't done it. The world's still going to hell. Thank God what has been done. But I want to tell you, and that's why I don't want another Pentecost or another Reformation, another Holiness Revival, or another Azusa Street. Sure, God can do things again, but most of the things God does, it's new. He doesn't do away with the old, He just builds upon it. And it's new heights and new depths going on with the Lord. Now, since the beginning of time, God has revealed Himself as the all-powerful God, the unlimited God, unlimited by time, space, or natural law. There's nothing too hard for God to do. The Bible is a book of miracles, a miraculous book. Christianity is a miracle religion because it associates man to the supernatural. You ought to be walking in the Spirit. You ought to be hearing things that the natural man cannot hear. You ought to be hearing the inaudible. You ought to be feeling the intangible. You hear it? Speaking the eternal. Seeing the invisible. That is real, true New Testament Christianity. Not dragging, well, I hope I can hold out to the end. Y'all pray for me. Let go and let God have His way and cut that religious act out. My Lord and my God. I said, you don't need healing. You need to be out healing. You don't need a miracle. You ought to be. Jesus said, these signs will follow. But believers, they are following the signs. You hear what's happening in Tulsa? Brrr. Down in Pensacola. Brrr. Go and run yourself to death. He said, signs are following. Now let's use some common sense. If the signs are not following, we as a group of believers, either we're not truly believing or exercising faith, part of our stuff is just hypocritical. We're trying to believe. Maybe we have good intentions. There's an eternal shall. It'll change your theology. Take your Bible and mark shalls and shall nots and will nots through your New Testament. Here Jesus Himself said, my believers, the children of God, these signs shall follow the believers. And you know what that is? That's a sample case of the hereafter, really. Because in faith and in the Spirit, we reach out in the next age and we pull it back to this age. For example, God saves us from sin, takes sin out of us. Amen? That is a foretaste of heaven. Sin shall not enter there. When God heals your physical body, that is reaching over there when no one can get sick, no one can die, no pain or heartache, no hunger, no thirst, and it pulls that back into this dispensation. You understand that? So He said, these signs shall follow them believe. And if I understand the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, and from Father Abraham, it said, the blessings overtake me. Well, why is everybody running trying to seek them? Follow God, and they'll overtake you. God has to slap you down. I told you about the bread crust this week, and the no milk and no gasoline. I don't get on the phone and blab to prayer partners and disguise it trying to... Don't feel sorry for me and my fanaticism. I love the Lord, and I know who I am, and I know who He is. Well, sure. In 24 hours from an unknown source, I didn't say anything to anybody. I filled that car yesterday morning with gas. She went to Kroger's and bought a lot of groceries. We've already had out-of-state guests that ate them all up, but anyway, almost all of them. But anyway, I like things moving. I don't spare anything. God has privileged millions of dollars to come through my dad, my brother, and my hands. We didn't keep a dime of it. And we used the least amount we could for personal thing. Now, sometimes before kings, before presidents, vice presidents, governors, We have to dress up and play the part. But we're not putting on airs. I've been in Washington, D.C. and also New York City. And a limo picks me up. But I don't hire a limo. I've got off a plane, a big jet, intercontinental jet, and I'm the only passenger. But I didn't devise it, and I didn't pay a dime. And this thing, oh, hallelujah, and hardly wait. I'm going to have a new Cadillac and $1 million because the wealth of the wicked. I heard them on TV, and the wealth of the wicked is going to be turned over the righteous. Grow up. I associate with millionaires, and I don't run after one of them. In this last year, she and I have been in a home alone. It's 14 rooms and an indoor swimming pool, almost Olympic size. But we used it to bring prayer meetings and the children of God and minister to people around the clock. We don't flaunt stuff. Well, God will bless you and give you a Cadillac car. Good Lord. These guys get away. I want 2,000 of you now this week to send $1,000. I have one $20 million jet plane and I want my second one. Turn that television off. There's not a minister in America, and I know most of them, that can't use a commercial jet and be there within 2 or 3 hours of the same that their jets would be there. And if you buy a jet today, you've got to have a pilot, $150,000. You've got to have a co-pilot navigator if you're going overseas. You've got to have that service. You've got to put it in a hangar if it's a jet. Don't leave it out in the dust and dirt. You've got to meet FAA inspections. Take poor little widow women's money and strut off in their jets. My Lord, my God. Boy, there's going to be a judgment day someday. Well, haven't you flown all over the world in jets, even private jets? Yes, but I didn't spend one dime. Not a dime. And if the means don't justify it, you can do it cheaper for the kingdom of God by owning something on it. But God's not going to turn the wealth over that you can show out with new automobiles and a big new home. That's talking about that the wealth of the wicked can be used for the kingdom of God. Right. It's laid up for the righteous because you don't take it with you. What's wealth for? What's money for? To use. Right. You know, Rex, my brother, conducted Elvis Presley's funeral. And if Rex were here today and he mentioned Elvis Presley, he hardly ever does, he'd say, one thing I noticed in the funeral procession, there's thousands of people and it took an hour and a half or 2 hours to go to the cemeteries. Because of the mobs and the people and the police and the traffic. And he said, I noticed that hearse carrying the casket didn't have a U-Haul behind it. You can't take it with you. All right, friend. God said, I said, open this. Who are these? This great multitude. Revelation 7th chapter. Who are these? Verse 9, 10, 13, and 17. Then, who is God? Now, in conclusion, who is man? Jesus held out a coin. He said, whose superscription? They said, Caesar. He said, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Render unto God the things that are God. In other words, he pointed, you are created in the image of God. So give soul, spirit, mind, and body back to God. That's the message there. Not just being a lawful, abiding citizen. Given that, that's not the true spiritual message there at all. Psalms 8 chapter, Hebrews 2nd chapter. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast created him a little lower than the angels. The other place it says a little lower than the gods. Thou hast crowned him with honor and
glory.
I thought God wouldn't share his glory. You've heard all your life since the card clash. Bless God, God won't share his glory with any man. He'll strike you dead. Friend, that's another error and lie that the devil has pushed over on God's people that God won't share his glory. It's sad. Listen at it. Read it in Psalms 8 chapter and Hebrews 2nd chapter. Whose man thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast put all things, him in dominion of all things and all things under his feet. New Testament says we don't yet see all things under his feet. The last enemy, 1 Corinthians 15:26, that shall be destroyed is death. That's the first enemy Jesus destroyed. What is it? I believe 2 Timothy 1:10. It said, he obliviated, abolished death. Death is already abolished. We don't have sense enough to know it. Well, brother, it's appointed unto man to die, and after the judgment, take it out of text and use it any way you want to. I'm not going to make a covenant with death. If God's through with me, I'm ready to go. But I'm making a covenant with life. I'm not picking out the cemetery plot, and I'm not picking out the casket, and I'm not writing out the funeral. The early church didn't have funerals. They took the believer out and buried him. And they still do that in the Middle East, and I love it. If you die now, they have you buried before sunset, then they hold a memorial service for you. I wish Christians would do that instead of all this bawling and crying and embalming the body and the roses and the women fainting and everybody moaning and groaning. And the Bible said it's far better to go and be with the Lord. Go on and bury that old body. Go on and bury that corruptible thing. Get it out of here. Then have a memorial service and shout and dance. They've graduated. They left this world. They're walking the streets of glory. So God placed man in dominion. In dominion. This last day of time. Now the Bible said all shall be fulfilled. All. Everything. The Bible says in the mouth of babes shall praise be perfected. I'll be brief with this. Brother Glenn says time and time again, Clement, sometimes just don't, you know, he said, preach the word, but just don't give us some of your experiences. Well, boy, I've had so many, you wouldn't believe it. I've been around the block a few times. It's just unbelievable. But I was in West Palm Beach on the front row. I don't like to go up the platform, even in Bath Cathedral in England, where Churchill and sometimes the King and Queen on Sunday morning service, I'm the guest speaker. Oh, you preaching for the vicar? I preach anywhere that God opens the door. In South America, I participated in the Mass. It's a big army reservation, and the only services allowed is the Catholic service. I wasn't interested in the Mass. I was interested in the officers' quarters for breakfast after the Mass. So I just used that. Had young people with me, and they sang in Spanish. But boy, when we got in there with breakfast, things just opened up, and what a testimony for God and prayer and people weeping and crying and all the rest. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But in this end day of time, all's going to be fulfilled. In West Palm, I'm sitting on the front row, and it's a big tabernacle, and the place is filled. And there's a lady with two or three little children, a little baby, sitting on the second row. Some teenagers went with us to service, and they're sitting there on the front row with us. I was waiting. I told the minister, don't call me up till I'm ready to preach. Because usually, even in the Church of England, Presbyterian Church, or Methodist Church in Korea, I sit way in the audience, and I come up preaching. It puts them in shock. I don't do it every time. It's not an act. If God inspires me, I just get up quoting Scripture. Boy, and if I need an interpreter, they run after me. But the pastor said, Brother Clement, without a further introduction, after this course will come. At the end of that course, everybody just kept standing and praising God. That little baby in that mother's arms wasn't 3 months old. It was praising God in pure English. The mother screamed, said, my God, my baby is talking. The teenagers heard it. And they screamed, this baby is talking. That's a fulfillment of the last days. About 3 years later on TBN, they said somewhere, somehow, they don't know exactly when or where, but in Sweden, a little baby was praising God. But I don't tell things secondhand or this, unless I tell you that a friend of mine is his meeting, is our meeting. Now, what would every minister in America do? I used to preach there all week. It'll grab that baby, grab the mother, grab those teenagers and run up there and try to show out. Get out of the way and shut up. Let the people tell it. Don't brag on you and your ministry. You don't have a ministry. You're kidding yourself. Either it's his ministry or it's a false ministry. It's his kingdom or your kingdom. It can't be both. So I just slipped up in the pulpit, quoting Scripture. During that meeting, I turned to the pastor. I'm not going to call his name. Many of you old-timers are remembering. He set Detroit on fire for months, years ago. I turned and quoted a Scripture. I didn't say, Pastor, this is for you, and any little cutesies. I started preaching. The Spirit of God hit me again, and I went back and gave him second Scripture. Did that 3 times. He wept and cried. He could hardly compose himself. We had a great meeting that night. He grabbed me when it was through. They had personal workers with people. And more people got saved that night after they left the place. Now, that's the real Spirit of God. I've seen in Seattle, we left state at 1 o'clock, 1:30 at morning, people coming from back all over town under hope. And some of them would freeze on the streetcar, freeze on the parking lot. and a Christian finally see him go over. Did you attend the meeting? Yes. I can't let go. Well, that's God's Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know what it is, but I need help. Get an app. No, you need to go back in there and get right with it. Boy, we had all kind of things happening. So that night we had a lot of things happening. More people came in to be saved after the benediction or so. And I don't believe in benedictions anyway. That's crazy. But anyway. Now, Lord, go with these people. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You stand and bless the people. Give them the Aaronic benediction or bless them. I, with the authority under Jesus Christ our Savior, bless you. I bless your family. I bless you when you walk out of here. I bless your rising up. I bless your lying down. I bless your feet. I bless the works of your hand. I bless you with health. See you tomorrow night. Now that's a good benediction. So that pastor grabbed me, took me through big double oak doors, turned around, locked the door, went over to that big desk. I never did like desk. All over South America and all over the world and Central America, the bigger the desk, more important you are. And so you get it to an army general, and boy, he's got a huge, even in Syria, a huge desk. And you get to a governor, and he's got a big desk. And down in Paraguay, I was entertained by the vice president. Man, I don't think I've ever seen a desk. He's a former army general, like that thing in my life. And when they get up from the desk, you're either in or out. But I'm used to this. They'll get up from the desk and come over and fall in my arms weeping and crying. Every time, almost every time. But he had a big desk, and he laid his head, this pastor, he laid his head and he sobbed and sobbed. He said, Brother Clement, you have no idea. My wife and I decided and talked it over and even had prayed about it and said, we're quitting the ministry. We've had enough. We're quitting. Well, calling... gifts and calling God without repentance. Don't you ever retire, refire. I listened to him. He said, we were leaving the ministry for three reasons. In the middle of your sermon, you turned. And that first scripture cleared out the first one. Then you started to preach, you turned. See, I'm glad I know nothing of this. Because you try to do it and try to use some scripture, something, you mess up everything. You mess up everybody else too. Stay innocent and pure and simple and humble before God and broken before God. Well, Brother Clement, I'm going through brokenness now. How long is God going to keep me there? He's trying to keep you there the rest of your life, honey bunch. You just don't have sense enough to know it. So that pastor, he said the three scriptures cleared up all three things. Bless God, we're going to stay on that battlefield another 20 or 30 years for God. Till God takes us home. Now, suppose I'd have showed out with that baby. That's the same service. Suppose I'd have run up there and showed out and got the mother. Everybody tell about this miracle tonight. You know, but it's going to be fulfilled. For example, Psalms 22:22 and Hebrews 2:10 or 2:12 says this, I will reveal the name to my brother. That name wasn't Father, like Scofield Bible says. That's silly. God's people knew God as Father in the Old Testament. Time and time again, it say Father. I don't like the expression, Father God. You make Father an adjective. I'm not trying to be critical of everybody else. But I'm trying and trying in my own life, and I'm sharing some of that with you, to be really scriptural. Not hateful, not nasty. But I never say Father God. I either say Father our God. Or I say God our Father. When you say Father God, you've taken the capital F, Father, and you've changed it to a little adjective, Father God. He is your Father. Well, said, I reveal the name. Jesus is not the name revealed. Angel Gabriel, Luke 1:26, that's what I call his name. Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. The Savior. All right. Isaiah said his name shall be called Emmanuel. He's never known as Emmanuel. God is with us, but he's never known as Emmanuel. He said, I'll reveal the name. How many of you want to know the name? He said in John 17, chapter, Father, I have revealed thy name to these, my brethren, the apostles. I'll tell you the name. John 8:24. If you do not believe that I am, it's capital I, capital am. If you do not believe I'm the great I am that spoke out of the burning bush, and that burning bush was glistening lightning, not red fire, is the same lightning that Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration had in even His garments changed. That's Shekinah glory. That's what we're ready for. That's what we're going to enter right away. It's already the foretaste of it. And that's when your youth will be restored.
Amen.
Like the eagles. That's when the weak, let them say, I am strong. Instantly. That's when you don't pray and beat the floor. You pass by and if God's not through with someone and they're dead, you say, rise. You don't make a big issue. You just walk by like in the book of Acts. And say, McGee, get off of that bed. You're not dead. God's not through with you. In Jesus' name, and walk out. And you come out shouting. I don't tell a soul about it. You do.
Amen.
I said before, God didn't send anyone in the Gospels to pray for the sick. Some of you got mad at me. Did you read the Gospels? It's not in there. Jesus did not send the 12 to pray for the sick. Then He sent 70. He didn't tell them to pray for the sick. He said, you go heal the sick. Stay prayed up in your closet. Live in prayer. Like the psalmist said, I am prayer. I am peace. I am love. He said, you go heal the sick. The believers lay hands on the sick and they're what? Recover. Oral Roberts didn't pray for 1 million people in his meetings. I was in some of those meetings. Usually, may I touch you? He'd say, lady, be whole in Jesus' name. Be well in that name above every name. But he'd confess once in a while, I spent all day on my face before God. I wasn't coming to this meeting tonight with you 12,000 people till God filled my soul and got me ready and gave me divine faith for you. Once in a while, he'd take a little baby and pray for it, or a little crippled child and ask the audience to pray. But will you say, well, James, the 5th chapter says a prayer of faith. That is a safety net. He said to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, James 1:1. Believers, Hebrew believers. All Israelites believed in Jesus. The Jews put Him to death. Go read your Bible. But He said to the 12 tribes, that's a brother of Jesus writing. He said, 12 tribes scattered abroad. These Hebrew Israelite brothers, they lived in Damascus, a little group of them. And they lived other places, Ammon and other places. And He writes to them, God is love. And listen, He hasn't forgotten you. If there be no gift of healing among you, no gift of faith, no gift of miracles, then you call for the elders. That's not the high standard. That is the safety net. Then you call for the elders' church, let them anoint with oil and prayer of faith, shall thank God for it. But that is not for us all to do. You don't need a half-hour prayer, 50. Now, particular cases, there are exceptions. But God wanted us to heal by saying, be made whole. In Jesus' name, lady, every infirmity, in the name above every name, be made whole. Touch them or even the spoken word. But no, we got to bite the dust and fool around. Okay? So these closing days of time, what happens? He reveals the name, John 8:24. If you do not believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. Verse 26, He said, when the Son of Man is uplifted, you'll know that I am. May I freely say, because it's the truth, He said, you'll know that I am the great I am. Mouth of two or three witnesses. Verse 57, John 8 chapter. You said that Abraham saw your day, Jesus. You're not yet 50 years old. He said, before Abraham was, I am the great I am. He said that he'd reveal the name in the book. And I haven't been able to keep any of them or have one, but I noticed there's some of them there on the table. This belongs on the table. The awesome glory, I cover a lot of these things, the next great move of God. It's not like any book you've ever had. Because there's the glory of the Son, the glory of the Spirit, and there's the glory of the Father. Sometimes they're overlapped and overmixed, but they're distinctive, different things. Christ, the Son of God, has a habitation when you're saved. The Holy Spirit has a habitation. Know ye not your body's temple of the Holy Spirit when you're baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. But God the Father, you only have Him through the Son, by the Son, in the Son, and through and by and in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but God the Father is going to have a habitation. And His name is the Father of glory. And like I said, it's not a glorious church Christ coming back for. Anyway, that has nothing to do with so-called rapture of the church, because it said that Christ will present it not to God the Father, but He'll present it to Himself, to sit beside Him. Go and study it. Read the Greek word, P-R-E-S-C-N-T-I-S, I believe, and it means to sit alongside. And it didn't say Glory's Church. I've already told you. It says the Church of Glory. And that glory is the Shekinah glory. Psalms 84:11 said, you know, how many have heard this is age of grace? That's not exactly true. Psalms 84:11 said, God will give grace and glory. This is the age of grace and glory. And 1 John 4:17, the last part, as He is, and said God is love, so are we in this present world. I am love. I don't try to love my enemies. I am love. And love loves. I'm a child of God, a son of God. I'm a light in the world. I'm the righteous of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. I am love. I am faith. The psalmist said, I peace, I am peace. Don't ask God for peace. Just claim that you are a child of God and you're walking in peace and I have peace. And great peace have they that love thy law. Lord, I love your word, your law. And nothing shall offend them. Then I can't be offended. Keep trying. It's going to take someone bigger than you to offend me. Now this is New Testament Christianity because 2 Peter 1:4 said all the promise of God, the exceeding great promise of God, are that we might be partaker of the divine nature. The essence of God comes in our life. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How many want to be like Jesus? Then escape the corruption that's in the world through lust and be the promise of God. Why are they for? Everything promised in that Word of God, according to Peter there, is that you and I might have the nature of Christ. Be partaker of that divine nature of Almighty God. Not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. Not this, gimme, Lord. Well, if you need something, get it before you leave camp. But you stop that babyhood stuff. Gimme, Lord. Grow up. But have a short fuse with God. If you miss Him, the Holy Spirit convicts you of going your face before God. Don't fool around. Live close. Live within listening voice of God. This is the age of grace and glory. And God said, let's see, it's in Ezekiel. He said this, Ezekiel, I want you to do something. 43:10. Ezekiel's about the glory departing, Ichabod. The Shekinah glory leaves by the eastern gate. He said, Ezekiel, I want you to show the house to the house. We really need that today. We don't know who we are in Christ. If we knew who we are in Christ, we'd walk out of here just completely victorious. Man, Lord, we wouldn't be discussing little old nothings with everybody. We'd be discussing the eternal Word of God. We wouldn't say one unkind word. The Bible said, speak evil of no man. We'd walk in a different world. We'd quit trying to be religious and we'd just become Christ-like. We'd be a God's ideal Christian. In Jude there, the last few verses, it shows God's ideal Christian. And we would become like the Son of God. I hope you believe that I have preached you the truth today. But I leave these scriptures, and I've read them before. And the God of glory shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh see it. Whosoever will may come for salvation. The Holy Spirit poured out on all flesh. Here it says the glory of the Lord will be revealed in all flesh. Isaiah 45. Numbers 14:21. Truly as I live, God says. And if you don't have a living God, then He's a dead God. If you don't have a personal God, you don't have a God at all. As I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. The whole earth shall be filled with His glory. Psalms 72:19. I will set the glory in the land of the living, not the sweet by and by. Ezekiel 26:20. The Shekinah glory. And the earth shined with His glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Isaiah 6:3. They shall declare My glory among the nations. You know what? Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to every nation. Then I'll come. But did you not know every time in the New Testament, if you remember, I believe I mentioned it earlier, it says the glorious gospel. That's not the right translation. The original said the gospel of the glory. Well, you say, well, Brother Clement, though I'm still hung up, I was taught no man should. All right. your pastor and all the reference Bible has taken two scriptures out of context and said God shares glory with no one. That's not true. It is in Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 48. God said, and read the rest of the verse, I'll share my glory not with another. Didn't say man, another. Read the rest of it. These carved images and these statues. Now what does it say? These heathen idols, I'm not going to share glory with them. Don't take that out of context. God created man with honor and glory. All right. Now, I believe it's chapter 48. You have to read the whole chapter. God says again, I won't share my glory with another people because I've shared it with Israel and they've become stubborn and backslid and rebellious. But I'm not going to share it with any of these heathen nations because I've already shared it with them. I'm trying to get them back, God says. So heathen worship and heathen nations, there's no glory of God there. You say, bless God, the New Testament says, don't let a man glory. Didn't say that. It's a different word used and it's not D-O-X-O at all. It's not glory. It says, don't let a man boast before the Lord. Then Paul turns around and said, if anyone does boast, let him boast in the Lord. Now, the words of Jesus ought to settle it for everybody. John 17:22, Jesus had prayed, Father, and thank you for restoring that glory I had before the foundation of the world in Psalms. And then in John 17:22, he said, Father, he's speaking to Almighty God the Father. He said, Father, the glory you've given me, I share with these disciples. Let God be true and man be a liar. We've been stripped of the glory and organized religion want to keep you without the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. God has a light that'll lighten our face. God has supernatural things ahead. My Lord, my God. He just like Philip, that's this day, this side of Pentecost, he's swept up and called away. God has supernatural things, dreams and visions, walk in the Spirit and living in the future. I'm already experiencing a little foretaste of it. I don't even know, and I don't know I'm already living in the future, but people around me know it. And I talk about things that may happen later, but I actually am innocent. I thought they'd already happened. They never did happen. So you get your time, past, present, future. The more you get wrapped up in God, He's without beginning, without ending. And He's like in a little circle of time, but we are, it's like this, the past, the present, and future. But God is like this. And you get wrapped up in God, you get your days and nights sort of mixed up. You're not a goofball, a flake coming off the wall, but you don't live like other people. You have an oil that makes the face shine and a wine that God gives that makes the heart glad. The Bible said in Ezekiel 43, the earth shined with His glory. And holy, holy, the whole earth is filled with His glory, Isaiah 6:3. They shall declare My glory among the heathen, Isaiah 66:19. And He said, I will make the place of My feet glorious. What's the place of His feet? Heaven is throne, the earth is footstool. This earth is going to experience the glory of God. Paul, Romans 8:18. The glory shall be revealed, we covered it, not to us, in us. The Bible, Colossians 1:25, Christ in you. Is He in you? The hope of glory, bringing many sons unto glory, Hebrews 2:10. And the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. God bless you. Stand to your feet. Lord, You said heaven and earth would pass away, but Your word would not pass away. You said it would accomplish their end to wherein it sent. And I pray the true Word of God, the incorruptible seed which is the Word of God, might be sown deeply in our hearts, our minds, our soul, our spirits, and even in our physical bodies. We know that God raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 6:4, by the Shekinah glory. And if that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it shall quicken, make alive, resurrect your mortal body. Do it for us, Lord. Get us out of self into God, out of fear into faith, out of doubt and into fear, O God, out of limitations and unlimited abiding and with Christ as an heir and joint heir. People of another world, a different life, a different mind. O God, forgive us and help us. Breathe upon us. Grow us up. Maybe we come strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. One of you lead us in prayer for the food. I guess they're going to eat now. Would you pray and God bless you for the food?
Father, thank you.
God bless you. Thank you for listening. God bless you all.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.